There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
At 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday, and so much going on. Of course, you are a big part of the show. Text line's already popping at 343-0106. Also, same digits. Get you through on a phone call. Good old-fashioned phone call, 343-0106. You can leave us a talkback message using the FM Talk 106.5 app, and on occasion, we'll take emails. But sometimes I don't get those till after the show. But that's Sean, spelled the fast way, S-E-A-N, at fmtalk1065.com. All right, so we got all that laid out. We'll take a look at what's going on with the Trump trial today. You know, the number of they're acting surprised. The number of jurors said they can't be impartial in this. Although I think I could. I think, I really do think I could. And I think there are people, I talked to somebody who was a liberal last night who said they thought they could as well. If you use it as an excuse to get out of jury duty, pretty easy in this one, right? But would you want to be there in that jury? Could you write a book after? I don't know. So, but we'll take a look at that. Also, what's going on with Speaker Mike Johnson? That's on the way. And of course, it's runoff election day here in AL2. For those of you in AL2, runoff day today. Went by a buddy of mine texted earlier. He saw the same thing. At the polling place there at E.R. Dixon, the signage there was for Daniels, Anthony Daniels, and Brubaker. I mean, not for Daniels and not for Brubaker, just signs for Shamari Figures and Caroline Dobson. I mean, not that the signs, I don't think anybody sees a sign when they go in and had no idea who they're going to vote for and then see a sign and go, oh, I'm going to change. Also, this person said turnout was almost 200 voters at E.R. Dixon as of 11:45. Heard Congressman Carl, which I want to visit that in a second, something on the text line. But Congressman Carl saying, you know, well, let's get, you know, hopefully we'll get a, you know, 20% or 18%. I'd like to break double digits. I think I think Mobile County was 18% for the AL1 portion, maybe for AL2 as well. If we break 10% voter turnout, I think you're doing something today, which is it's an abomination. That's all the people that would show up. But I hope to be proven wrong. I hope it's 50% of the people, but it's not going to happen that way. But yeah, have you voted? Are you getting ready to vote? What was the turnout like at your polling place? Let me know. Somebody said no poll greeters there from the different campaigns as well. I guess they're on this runoff. They don't have everybody mustered on this. They figure people are going to come out. The few that come out have already made their decision, going to go in there. And it's interesting to see the polling now that shows Dobson within striking range, if not leading, because, you know, it was just last couple weeks had Brubaker so far ahead in the AL2 runoff for Republicans. Also, the flip side, Shamari Figures was way ahead in polling over Anthony Daniels. I don't think that has changed. I think this is going to be Shamari Figures, unless something very odd that I have not seen in other parts of AL2. Remember, this is a district now as drawn that goes from border to border, from Mississippi to Georgia. That makes sense. Not really. But down here, I don't think Anthony Daniels stands a chance. We'll see what those numbers come in for the Montgomery area. So I have a feeling it'll be what turnout is there on the Democrat side will be for Shamari Figures in our area for sure. And then where does it go between Dobson and Brubaker? Your thoughts on that at 343-0106. Yeah, we've got this second part of the story, which you usually don't get in Alabama, is that whatever happens today, we will actually have a discussion going forward to November in the general. It's going to be, you know, got Carolyn Dobson here, who spent a lot of time, you know, getting name ID here and in Montgomery, where Brubaker had the name ID in Montgomery. He's worked some down here to get that brand name, you know, get that name recognition. Of course, all this is, Carolyn Dobson also got the much coveted KIV appearance at an event last night, which actually probably would motivate some people to go to the polls. So we'll see where that goes. Your thoughts on that? We can talk about that at 343-0106. Let's see. Hopefully I have time today. I have a couple of animal stories in the mix. I know that's what Dan usually, you know, I don't want to take my man Dan Brennan's thunder here because he does animal news, but there's a story about cats now being more featured in movies and dogs dominated forever. But the story I really want to get to is what happens when you get a pet octopus. This is going to be a cautionary tale because this is the kind of question I would get from my children. Why can't we have a pet octopus or something like that? I'll get into that in just a little bit. And let's see here. Oh, on the text line, let me read a couple of these. Okay, so yeah, I mentioned I'd come back to the Congressman Carl thing. And it happened yesterday, and then somebody else during Jeff's show said, the Mariner said, so glad Jerry's gone. And somebody yesterday, I think Tim said, why are you talking to him? He's out. You understand that it is, by my estimation here, April, right? And Jerry Carl is going to be AL1's congressman, as constituted now, AL1's congressman. AL1 and AL2, those new districts, will only exist when the new member of Congress comes in. So from now till January, so while y'all, the congressman for AL1, we got Jerry Carl. So the people say, well, why are you talking to, because that's our congressman. And it's going to be, that will be our congressman until January. So the idea that you just moved on from that, there's a lot of stuff that happens between now and January. I think you should agree with that, right? All right. People heading in. Pat said he's heading back from Thomasville now so he can vote. Good, Pat. I appreciate that. You're going to make up the 10% of us. Oh, here's what I'm doing today. What do y'all think? So you're going to get the boy today from school and do the carpool thing. Get him from carpool. And we're going to vote. So he's going to go with me to vote. The kid is going to drag him into the polling place. See what he thinks about that. It's a field trip. It's good. Fire Dog says, Sean, are you on drugs again? I don't know when I was on drugs, but are you on drugs again, or did that head injury do a number on you? 50% of voters won't even show up at a presidential election. No, Fire Dog, I was saying, of course they won't. I said double digits. I'm hoping for 10%, 10.5%. The head injury thing, though, Fire Dog, you may have a... I think I'm clear from it. It's been a couple months. But seriously, take that stuff seriously. If y'all don't remember, I fell, busted my head wide open some months ago, and I'd been used to recovering from things. You know, you're younger, you recover from things, and it's like 48 hours, you're up and going. That one stuck with me for months. So, Fire Dog, I'm not sure that didn't affect me. But no, if I said 50%, I'm sorry. I meant, I think turnout, 18% is what happened in the primary. I think we're looking at best just getting into the double digits. I hope it's more, but I don't think so. Ed said, Sean, I voted St. Paul's. Very few signs out. One machine had 163 votes. The other one had 68 votes. I sat parked outside for about 15 minutes and saw four people walk in. Wow. Good. Thank you. This texture says cats are liberal elite. That's why the movies. Right. Cat. If you had to qualify cats, they would be liberal elites versus dogs, right? And then voted E.R. Dixon. Only two people voting with me also. Dirt Digger says Brubaker should have opened a new car dealership, and Governor Meemaw show up for a ribbon cutting. There's some politics there on that. So, yeah, your reports from what you see today, when you're out at the polling place, let me know at 343-0106. Now, let me go before we go to break here, and we come back. I do want to talk in the second half of this hour. First of all, good seeing y'all at the event, with 300 or so folks out at Municipal Park at Langham Park on Saturday, the Supporting Chief Prine event. And by the way, Angela, if you're listening, great meeting you. You're a kick in the pants. I want to get you on the show soon. Yeah, enjoyed our brief conversation. Good to see Jason, a lot of folks out there from the text line that were out at the event. But we'll get into the latest, what was put out by the city yesterday, latest come from the side of Chief Prine on that. And today's city council meeting, there's supposed to be a big showing of people supporting Prine. Like I said, I watched the city council meeting as much as I could before I had to get ready to come in here to the studio. And I didn't get any of that yet, but John Sharp, who is in there, will join us a little after 1 o'clock to talk more about this. The only thing I did pull out of, well, I pulled out a clip that may go to a, I did pull out a clip this morning that may go in a Mobile, Midday Mobile intro. Also, this quote from somebody who was addressing the council. How about this one? Y'all like words that, the new way to say things? They were talking about people that didn't have money and needed daycare. So this person was said this, a quote here. People have inconveniences with fiscal resources. Y'all enjoy that one. So if you don't have any money, it's inconveniences with fiscal resources. That one stuck with me. I think we get right. So if you say your buddy calls you, said, hey, man, can you want to get tickets to the so-and-so? I would like to, but currently I have inconveniences with fiscal resources. So it's my takeaway from today. And then also, I want to start this conversation. I was listening to a podcast yesterday, and it asked, in this podcast I was listening to, and it's about the discussion, really the discussion I had yesterday with Congressman Carl about these funding packages, right, for separating Ukraine and Israel. And I had a couple texters, one in particular asked me, like, how would I vote if they were individual? Would I vote to pass funding for Israel, vote for further funding for Ukraine? But during this podcast, they pause it. Isn't that something somebody said? They pause it. And they asked a question. How about this? Said, why couldn't Ukraine receive the missile defense that was afforded Israel? What's the difference? You saw this great show of missile defense by the Israelis, but by the United States, by Jordan. And so they're in this podcast. They're like, see, they it's the Republicans and they hate Ukraine and they love Israel. And that's why Israel was defended. They weren't. Let me do something here. And I wish I could have talked back to the podcast. Maybe I talked back to the speakers in my car when I listened to it. Hey, maybe pull out a map. Let's pull out a map. Let's do a little map thing. How far is it from Iran to Israel? From Tehran to Tel Aviv? And how far is it from inside Ukraine in the Donbas where there's missile batteries, or just across the Russian line where there's missile batteries, into targets in Ukraine? So I'm just some old hick from the Gulf Coast. I don't know nothing. But they were this angle, they thought they had a gotcha. They said, you know, you can see this, that they have this missile defense situation here where they could shoot down these Iranian drones and missiles, but they won't do it for Ukraine. Well, when it takes 30 seconds to 2 minutes to get a missile in from the launch site in Donbass or the, just outside Kharkiv or right across the Russian line, or drones launched from there to hit a Ukrainian target versus a lot longer to launch in Iran to get that missile into Israel, it just stood out to me. So things like that get talked about, and I don't think there's a lot of, like, just open up the map and everything has to be a conspiracy versus just going, well, there's a geography of the distance between the two places that may play into it. Your thoughts on that, let me know. It is this number, 343-0106. Coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
Listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Right, 12:23 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Yeah, Michael's saying that 7:05 this bright, that wasn't really bright, it's kind of foggy, morning. His two-year-old and he were number they were number six voting at Mobile Museum of Art. Now, Michael, that is dedication to voting, to take a two-year-old anywhere. You know, you go through that period of time, like Dalton could probably nod along there as he has young ones when they have young kids and people are like, did you go to such and such restaurant or do this and that? You're like, no, we don't go to restaurants. We don't go to places with other people because it's the time you sit down, it's like somebody turned an hourglass over and just like a little egg timer set at 30 seconds to like 5 minutes. Sometime in that ratio, the kids are going to act a fool and do something to ruin the meal, and then you have to just wolf it down and leave. So to take them into voting, Michael, you have my respect, because mine's 13, so I could expect a little bit more. Not a whole bunch, because he's a boy, but yeah, remember that period in life when I had the toddlers and young ones, and people were like, oh, come out, we'll all go out to the restaurant, bring the kids. I'm like, no, I want to enjoy this. I don't want this to be, we'll be at the house. John texts here, funny how the same people who say thank you for my service can't find the time to go vote. Absolutely one of my pet peeves. I think most of us who have seen combat vote. Well said, John. Yeah, and it's even if it's the runoff portion of it, it's just, and it's, you know, it is force of habit. Now I was so very lucky to grow up with the parents I did. And certain things were just part of life. You, once you were 18, you went and voted. I mean, you just, you know, you build muscle memory. You do it enough that you, it's like anything, like exercising or doing whatever, you build the muscle memory and you do it. Now, this is, all right, so I want to, you know, tell you what, we'll come back to the Prine stuff after the break, because several of y'all have been texting here about the situation. So I hear this discussion last night on this podcast, and it's one of the ones I check out during the week to try to keep up with, you know, international affairs, and this one's from the Telegraph, like the newspaper out of the United Kingdom. I listen to BBC and Telegraph some. I listen to Al Jazeera some. I listen, of course, U.S. stuff. I try to make sure I'm getting a full, you know, a full complement of opinions on there. But it was interesting. They kind of were talking about what is up today, right? This question about separating the votes on Ukraine and Israel in these packages in Washington, which I believe in. I think they should be separate. And I am a person that has said I support Ukraine's right to defend themselves. I'm kind of on this island between the new hip thing is to like hate Ukraine. I don't hate Ukraine. Believe me, I grew up in the 80s. Generally, somebody opposing Russia, I'm probably down with them. But also, I don't see an offering. I don't see a way for Ukraine to win, right? I've been asking for a year here. How are we going to find peace in this? But this podcast, you know, asks the question. They're like, why couldn't Ukraine, you know, the Americans and the Republicans are, you know, all one-sided. They'll give everything to Israel and nothing to Ukraine. Do you know how many billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars have gone to Ukraine? But they said, oh, yeah, but look at the missile defense that was given Israel Saturday night. Why couldn't that happen for Ukraine? And I'm just some old hick. What do I know? Simple guy. I said, well, you pull out the map and look at the distance between a missile launch in Iran and the time it has, you know, between Tehran and Tel Aviv that you can put intercepts up. Because they were asking, I guess, in the podcast, why, you know, it wasn't just Israel, it was the United States, it was Jordan, it was other players doing this. Couldn't you do the same thing? Couldn't the United States and NATO countries provide the same kind of situation? They're launching the missiles from half the time inside Ukraine in Donbas, right? Or just on the Russian border. You have way less time to run some kind of missile defense system. It was just weird to hear all these people, I think four different people in the discussion, all highly educated, all with a dang English accent, which, you know, doesn't impress me. And saying, well, I can't believe they did this. I'm like, y'all, just pull out the map here. So it takes a longer, lot longer time to get missile there. Damn Yankee says, look at the footprint of Israel, too. It's a pretty small country. It would take many more sites, a lot more money, U.S. money at that, to build a missile defense for a country the size of Ukraine. It's the difference between New Jersey and Texas. Well said. Dirt Digger, Sean, it's like deer hunting up close, bow distance, shotgun, and rifle. Big fields might use the right weapons for the job. Israel is ready. Well, yeah, I mean, it is proximity, right? And I'm not saying that if the proximity was different, but if they were launching, let's say, which we also have a completely different situation because NATO is not going to go unless there's a, what is it, Article 35, 25, Article 5, something, whatever, violation of the NATO treaty where Russian munitions flew into a NATO country, the NATO countries can't, you know, be shooting down the Russian assets without engaging in the war with Russia. I mean, it's like they missed a lot of this on this. So, I mean, that's, and Fire Dog says he has a good tinfoil hat idea of why Iran went after Israel. Okay, this is good. This is so we get to, I tell you, I'll read this as we go on the break and we can visit this afterwards. Fire Dog said, number one, the U.S. had a defense treaty with Ukraine signed by Bill Clinton after the fall of the Soviet Union. Barack Obama ignored that treaty in 2014 and gave Ukraine anti-tank weapons and MREs from the Vietnam War and told them, sucks to be you. Number two, Israel has a defense treaty that we supported them after shafting Ukraine for political reasons because of the Jewish community votes Democrat. But, you know, they have, but at the same time, you have, I would say you have way more Republicans supporting Israel than you do Democrats in this. But you make some good point. We'll come back to this. 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:35 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this probably lightly attended AL2 runoff day. Democrats signed figures and Daniels, Brubaker and Dobson on the Republican side. So we'll check it. The polling showing that Dobson had, you know, pulled ahead in some or gotten it darn close going into today. So we'll see what comes out of that. And I think from the polling I've seen, for what that's worth, Shomari figures way ahead in this one. But, you know, I mean, Anthony Daniels may be strong up in the Montgomery area. You know, it's going to be the tale of two cities, too, in this drawn AL2. The two influences are going to be Mobile, the part of Mobile in AL2, and Montgomery. Right, there's going to be the two towers, not to go all Tolkien on this, but, you know, the push and pull here between the two, with the hinterlands accounting for some things, but the votes coming from those two places. It is so darn weird, having grown up in AL1 as it was, to have this, you know, gerrymandered district. But that's what it is now. And I tell you what, I think this will be, within a decade, redrawn back in front of a court. Those kind of things going forward. I think I just have a feeling this does not stand as laid out here. So a couple more comments. They have not taken the vote that I know of yet on these aid packages for Israel and Ukraine. And once again, I'm not saying you don't do anything for Ukraine, but I still go back to the, like, Israel can win, right? Israel could win even if it becomes a wider regional war, which I pray to God it doesn't. Like, people lately have been like, you know, this might be a wider regional war. What have I been saying since October? Of course, it may very easily be a wider regional war, which scares the heck out of me for our people. But as Israel can win, I had something shown to me, like some YouTube guy sent something to me, how he thinks Russia can lose to Ukraine. I watched it and listened to it. I disagree with it. I think you're in a situation where you could, you know, get Israel across the finish line, yes. I don't know how you do it with Ukraine, but I still don't say you just today turn your back completely on them. But how many more billions? I mean, when do we say no? Story here, this from MyNBC15 says, as Iran's historic first ever direct military strike against Israel Saturday has refocused Washington on foreign policy and security, so too has the event emphasized the constricting path House Speaker Mike Johnson has to push for funding such priorities through Congress, even before lawmakers return from Easter break. Johnson began issuing promises that the House of Representatives would consider aid packages to fund additional military aid to key allies listed above. While Johnson previously pushed, as many House and Senate Republicans did in the fall of 2023 and the winter of this year, for such provisions to be tied to legislation enhancing security measures at the U.S.-Mexico border, the bipartisan deal fell apart in both chambers. The Senate, in a rare all-night voting session, managed to pass a package in February that would provide $95.3 billion to Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan, with specifically $60 billion allocated for Ukraine and $14 billion for Israel. Okay. You know, in the discussion, it's been, hey, you've got to tie these things together. You've got to tie Israel to Ukraine to be able to get the votes. You know, if you want to get the money for Israel to get the Democrat votes, you have to tie it to Ukraine. Make them separate packages. And if the reason they fail is you don't have the Democrat votes, then it is on the Democrats. Now, quite often it turns into, you know, the Republicans are Charlie Brown and, you know, Lucy is the Democrats, and she pulls the football away, and he looks like a fool again. But if they message this correctly, and say, no, we're going to vote on these separately. We may believe, you know, if you're a Republican leadership, you say, I believe in, if you do, I believe in funding Ukraine. I believe in funding Israel. That's why we need to do them separately. And the Democrats then don't show up to vote for that. Then it's on the Democrats. And then make sure you get out and message that. But that's what's up today. You know, but yeah, I just kind of went back to that, what I thought was a very dumb kind of idea from some very educated people with the Telegraph who said, well, you know, you could do it for Israel. You could do the missile defense for Israel. Look at all these people who came in. It is, it's not part of NATO, right? Israel, this is not the defense that was levied by, when Jordan chimes in, right? It's not like a NATO class action there. And you have, oh, I don't know, a couple thousand more miles to get anti-missile defense in the air before they get there, just, you know, instead of Ukraine where they're shooting it from 10 miles away. All right. Now back home here, and this is going on Mobile City Council today. And like I said, John Sharp, hopefully we'll be finished up with City Council meeting, be able to talk to us here after 1 o'clock with what's going on with the City Council and the question over Chief Prine. This was the, this was what came out yesterday. Now, this was sent out by the city, right? So this was sent out by the executive branch, so Mayor Stimson's office. And it was, let's see, came in at, for like you care, but I'll let you know. It came in 7:17 last night. Okay, 7:17 last night. I got this. And it said, it came out. This was earlier, from the earlier discussion, it's called Prine Complaints Redacted. Is this form. Okay. And this is a, this is what the Stimson administration, what the executive branch is saying, was sent from Chief Prine to Mayor Stimson. And this was dated March 18th. Okay. March 18th, 9 o'clock at night. The subject of it is Operation Echo Stop, Third Party Review, and Chief Rebuttal. I'm going to read you a little bit of this, and then I'm going to go into the story from Lanyap about it. It says, addressed here, Mayor, so to the Mayor, Chief Prine says, Mayor, attached is a third-party peer review of failures of Operation Echo Stop, blaming MPD leadership of that failure. I have also written a rebuttal addressing each portion of what was supposedly reviewed. The rebuttal will explain it all. This review also validates my grievance against Rob Lasky in January of 2024 when he and, redacted in here, conspired to write up a presentation for you that would suggest I was the reason for the failure of Operation Echo Stop. When that plot failed, after I found out, apparently this was an attempt to suggest that a third-party objective company would make the argument for them. Jimmy, and which I imagine he means the chief of staff, James Barber, Jimmy would have had to approve said contract for this review, and it should be noted that I was not aware of it. This is the same tactic that with Dan Lumpkin shortly after I took office, showing that there was a problem with my leadership. This raises concerns with me with the Kenyon Brown review and the PM Group review. We are spending taxpayer dollars for demonstrably false reports because of malicious motives. All right, so we'll flesh this out when we come back here. It's, I'll tell you what, we'll hold off on the break. Let's hold off on the break because I want to get to this. So we go over, so that's the first paragraph of this letter, and I think you probably had a chance to, if you haven't had a chance to read it, we can post it on our social medias. It's a it's a PDF. Well, I know, Leanna, it doesn't make it fun, but if we can, we may have to post this up if it's not elsewhere for people to read it. But that was the first paragraph of that. So now we'll jump over to Scott Johnson's story from Lanyap. So he posts this and says, the City of Mobile's multi-year gun violence reduction operation is not going as planned. In fact, the recent audit of the system found that some key performance indicators are worse than before. But soon-to-be former Police Chief Paul Prine claims he was being set up as the fall man in a three-page report performed by a Florida business run from a home that incorporated just a few weeks before they were awarded a $92,000 contract. It says Operation Echo Stop was announced by Mayor Sandy Stimson's administration in 2021, with plans to implement ShotSpotter, a gunshot detection surveillance network, and a targeted community outreach strategy. The operation aims to combat the uptick in violent crime experienced during and after COVID-19 pandemic by equipping police with rapid intelligence and responding. It's response-ability. And we, you know, I had many interviews on here about this with the mayor, with the chief. So we talked about this a good bit. The big rollout, remember? Says here a critical back to, more from the story in Lanyap here, more from Scott's story over at lanyapmobile.com. Said a critical aspect of the campaign is to improve, quote, the perception of crime in the city, end quote, by demonstrating law enforcement presence when a shooting occurs and investment by engaging the residents in the vicinity for more information. Studies of these programs in other communities nationwide have found their success questionable, however. So when this all started here at home, I heard about what Birmingham had done with this and the failures in Birmingham with this, that it was not, you know, using a technical term here, getting it done in Birmingham. So back to Scott's story, he said the performance study was prescribed as part of EchoStop's multi-year implementation. And in November of 23, Mobile City Council signed a $92,000 contract with 321Z Insights, a Palm Bay, Florida-based firm for technology management, deployment, and consulting services. Prine called the business suspect during a recent interview on Fox 10. The company delivered its findings to the city on March 11th, reporting that while EchoStop campaign had the capacity to be highly effective, a lack of participation by the Mobile Police Department undermined that potential. So this is the discussion since we've talked about this all last week, and I had the interviews with the mayor and Chief Prine, because I asked these questions of the people at the city. I said, hey, is EchoStop, is the machine not working? Right. Is the technology not working? Is there something, you know, needs to be updated? I was told from the executive branch side that the machine was working just fine, but the people that need to implement that information or take that information, process and implement were the failure in it. This is what came from the administration. So, it goes on here to say Prine, who's been on administrative leave since Tuesday, claims a report on EchoStop and ShotSpotter is a farce. In an email to Mayor Stimson on March 18th that I just read you a little bit from, Prine responded to the peer review and said attached is a third-party peer review of the failures of Operation EchoStop, blaming MPD leadership of that failure. I have also written a rebuttal addressing each portion of what supposedly was reviewed. So it says the city didn't provide a copy of Prine's rebuttal by press time on Friday. That's what I just read you, though, the parts of it. It goes on and said, in the March 18th letter, Prine claims a peer review validates allegations he made against Public Safety Director Rob Lasky in a grievance letter in January in which he said Lasky had been attempting to curate bad information on Prine for months. Prine claimed that EchoStop peer review was awarded to 321Z Insights as a front to substantiate Lasky's agenda. Quote here, there is no other reason to pay for this report unless it was to blame others for its failures, end quote. Prine wrote to Stimson that he opposed EchoStop and did not want to see it continue to receive funding. Now, I think we're starting to get down to the dig here, right? Starting to get more information of what the big break, what started the chasm here. So in this, it says, here's a more from what I read you just earlier from the letter from a month or something ago that was written from Chief Prine to the mayor. It said, this review also validates my grievance against Rob Lansky in January 24 when he and redacted, I told you that, conspired to write up a presentation for you that I would suggest was a reason for the failure of EchoStop. In what I can get here, remember the whole Kenyon Brown report was supposed to be a discussion of what we had six officer-involved shootings in Mobile. But it seems like the sidebar to this is this battle over EchoStop. Is EchoStop worth spending the money? Is it good and the police department can't implement it? Is it something we don't need? That seems to be, in everything I've read through, what the back and forth on this is. We'll come back from the break, talk more about this and your thoughts. But yes, this is, you know, last week there was a lot of, you'll find out this. It seems like this is now getting down to some of the meat of it. Is this the last layer of the onion? I don't know, but we'll give you the rest of this when we come back. 343-0106, it's Midday Mobile.
This This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, and it is this show, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Tuesday, and hopefully, let me check. I can check the, we'll check the Mobile City Council meeting. Is it wrapped up yet? Leanna, you can let me know, because that'll kind of be a gauge whether, what time our buddy John Sharp gets on with us. He's been down the City Council meeting. I did tell you my takeaway. They didn't get any of the, response here for the call it termination or, administrative leave for Chief Prine. Didn't get that discussion. It is interesting. You watch City Council while people are watching for that. The bulk of City Council is, well, my driveway looks like this, and I want to have an easement here. You know, it's a regular city stuff. I want to change the zoning here because I want to open a business. I want to have, expand my driveway, those kind of things. Plus the takeaway I got from early in the City Council meeting where somebody, I love this term. I got to just remember it. Instead of saying somebody's broke, they called it inconveniences with fiscal resources. Love that. I love that. So, but we'll find out. If City Council is wrapped up in time, John will be on with us right away. If not, it may be a few minutes afterwards. Hey, let me give you a heads up here on what's going on with some deals out there. So my buddy Forrest, y'all know, you hear me talk about him with Blue Water Yacht Sales and Service. He's got extended deals right now with like Regulator, Jupiter, Solace, Albemarle, Bulls Bay. These deals, like, used to be the way it was in the boat business. And then COVID and supply line issues hit. And then for years, they didn't have inventory, so they weren't offering deals because there were only so many boats. Well, things are back to normal in that front now, so they're offering the deals. And these are kind of like the pre-boating season. Even though for us, it's kind of boating season year-round. You think about up in the north and all that, that their boating season is going to get kicked off. It's boating season. So they make the deals now. And these deals are in effect, hopefully, through the rest of this month. I know they've been extended from March. If you go by, you can check out these deals on new boats, those brands I talked about at Blue Water Yacht Sales. In addition, check out the brokerage service. If you go, man, I want to get that new boat, but I got to sell the boat I got. Hey, Force gets it, and they get you the top dollar for your high-end used boat. So when you're there, you could say, hey, what do you think I can get for this boat? Here's what I've got. Here's the hours on it, X, Y, Z. Then give you an idea, and then you can look at the incentive deals on the new boats and see, you know, what that next offshore or inshore boat's going to look like for you. So check them out online, bluewateryachtsales.net. See them in person on the I-65 Beltline or at Orange Beach Marina. Ask for my buddy Forrest. They're making some deals on some pretty darn sweet boats right now. All right, back to, let's see. This is good. Okay, this is, I would read this, and then I'm going to read Derek's last. Said, this texture says, I believe that the trio of the mayor's office have a new song to sing. Smiling faces tell lies. Chief should receive an apology, but that will never happen. Okay. The one I wanted to read is, Derek said, my, the political dance you're about to do. Good luck. I appreciate you saying that, that you think it's a political dance. Here's where I come at this, and I deal with this on all kind of issues. Derek, what I do is I wait for facts. I will give opinion and what I think things look like. But the person that tells you, I guarantee or definitive, those people over my lifetime have often been wrong. So I think it's obvious that I think a lot of Chief Prine, and I think a lot of Sandy Stimson, the mayor. I'm trying to parse out what's true here, right? And I think there's a lot of other players in this thing. And so when I try to give airing time like I did last week on both sides, that's what I do. I think I owe it to you for you to hear both sides of this. And then continue to, every time new blocks of information come in, go through this. So, yeah, it's not a dance I'm doing. I think it's trying to be fair. And then when the evidence is there and I have something that's concrete, then I'll tell you it's concrete. I think this is a bad deal for our city. You know, and I am a Mobile homer, and it's a bad deal for our city. This is going on. The Chief Prine is out. I think it's a bad deal because it also has a lot of questions about the executive branch, the mayor here. So I don't think any of this is good. But what I want at the end of it is not to defend anybody other than what is true here and get that out. It does sound like right now what we're talking about is a lot of this surrounds this Echo Stop thing. Have you been, and I don't know that the ShotSpotter and Echo Stop technology, I don't know if you've ever been in the situation. Once again, Derek, you can enjoy this. This is what they're saying. Like, since I didn't run it, I can't tell you firsthand, but they're saying on one side, coming from Chief Brian, it's like, this stuff doesn't work, right? Doesn't work as advertised. The city is saying MPD didn't do a good job of implementing the data from ShotSpotter and Echo Stop. Have you been in a business where they implemented something new that didn't work? And I, like I said, I don't know that these don't, but I've been there. I've been at broadcast companies. I worked for other people for 2.5 decades before I had a chance to, before the dog cut the car for me here on this station. And they would bring things in, and usually a consultant would come in and like, oh, here's the hot thing. They're doing it in Dallas, and they're doing it in Atlanta. We're all going to do it here. It was even unproven then. And then everybody had to change for some new technology or new way to do things that didn't work. Occasionally, there were great improvements, but quite often it didn't work. And they had to go through a period of time where everybody had to pretend something worked because a lot of money was spent on it before the truth came out that it didn't. So I wonder if we got that situation going on here. And coming right back, more Midday Mobile. This is FM Talk 106.5.